Today's daf was Sukkah daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara had two topics. It spoke about a Sukkah Gezula, and it spoke about whether we require Hadar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by an Esrog and by a Lulav. So first we speak about a Sukkah Gezula. The Gemara tells us that the Braisa says that a Sukkah Gezula is a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chacham. Rabbi Lazar holds it's pasul, the Chacham holds that it's kosher. But that's that whole case of Sukkah Gezula where there's a machlokas is if you go into somebody's Sukkah and you grab him and you yank him out of his Sukkah, that's where you have a machlokas, whether it's kosher or pasul. But if a person is if a person steals wood and then builds a sukkah out of it, then divrei akol ein lo ela demei etzim. Then everyone would agree that you only owe the wood, but the sukkah is kosher. You yotze the mitzvah with the sukkah. The Gemara says because we compare sukkah to rishus harabim that we must be talking about a sukkah where the machlokas applies. Must be a sukkah where it's lavdi day, where the ground itself is not yours. So, but if the ground is yours and you just have stolen materials in the sukkah, so then you are yotze the mitzvah according to everybody. You just owe the money for the value of the wood. The Gemara tells a story of a woman who went complaining to Rav Nachman that all the Rabbanan and the Reish Galusa are sitting in the Sukkah Gzula because they stole building materials from her and they built the Sukkah. Rav Nachman didn't pay attention to her. She said, what are you talking about? A Bas Avram Avinu, a daughter of a father who had 318 servants, you're not going to pay any attention to? So he says, Pe'isa Yida, she's a very loud woman. Ein Lel Dmei Itzim Bavad. All she's entitled to is the value of the wood. In fact, the Gemara tells us that's the Takanas Marish applies to a Sukkah that typically speaking, there's a takana midrabanan that if you steal an object and then you build it into a structure, you do not need to rip apart the entire structure in order to return the object. You could just pay back the money. So that applies to a sukkah during sukkahs. But once sukkahs is over, then there's no takanas marish. Then la'achar lebasar shiva hadar be'inei, you have to actually rip apart the sukkah and give back the actual object unless you had cemented it in. If you had cemented it in, then you don't have to give it back. That was all the discussion about sukkah gzula. And the whole second half of the daf is all focused on one statement of Rava. That Rava says that even though the Mishnah, we have a machlokas, whether yavesh is pasul or kasher, Rabbi Yehuda says that a yavesh is kasher, that a lulav ha-yavesh, a dried out lulav, is kasher. Rava says that whole machlokas is only by a lulav, because lulav doesn't need to be, may not need to be hadar, but when it comes to an esrog, it for sure has to be hadar. So first the Gemara says, wait a second, are you sure that lulav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does not need to be hadar? We have two rayas that it does need to be hadar. Number one, yagdenu milamala. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to bind it on top. So he said, no, that has nothing to do with hadar. That's because it's called kapos tamarim, and we understand that it's kafos. It means tied. So it's not about the beauty, it's about it being tied. What about the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, ein ogdinas lulav el bimino, that you can only tie the lulav with something that's made out of palm branches. So isn't that because of hadar? The Gemara says, no, that's because of baltosif, that we're afraid if you use something else, it's going to be an extra min in the lulav. So Rabbi Yehuda could in fact hold that a lulav does not need to be hadar. The Gemara says, but wait a second, do you mean to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog does need to be hadar? I could prove to you that an esrog does not need to be hadar. After all, we have a braisa that tells us that the four minim of the lulav, lo matza esrog, if you don't have an esrog, lo yavi lo parsh, lo minim of lo davar acher, and then Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say, and we said, kamushin ksher nivashin psulin, Rabbi Yehuda omer af yivashin, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if it's dried out, it's kasher. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a dried out esrog, even though it's not hadar, is still going to be kasher. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya either. That's only going on the lulav. He's not talking about an esrog when he says yavesh is kasher. So Gemara says, okay, but we have another raya that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog does not need to be hadar, because it says that an esrog hayashan, Rabbi Yehuda says, is kasher. If it's old, it's kasher. So obviously it doesn't need to be hadar. So it says, Gemara, you're right. Tiyufta derava tiyufta. It's got to be that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav, that an esrog does not need to be hadar. We were incorrect in asserting that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog needs to be hadar. It's not true. It does not need to be hadar. So the Gemara challenged that from four different places, and each challenge is rejected. First we say, but what about green lulav? Rabbi Yehuda says, a green esrog rather, Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. Isn't that because of hadar? No, it's because it's not fully ripened. What about the fact that he says there's a minimum size of an esrog that has to be kibetzah? Isn't that because it's got to be hadar? No, it's because it's not fully ripened. What about the fact that he says says the maximum size is a fairly small size. Isn't that because of other? No, that's just because of a concern that when you try to switch hands, you might drop it and it'll become puzzle. What about the fact that it says in the Torah, pre-eitz hadar? Doesn't that prove that it has to be hadar? He says, no, we're mispronouncing the word. It's not pre-eitz hadar, it's pre-eitz hadar. That hadar be'ilana mishana l'shan is just describing the way the fruit grows. Parenthetically, the Gemara had mentioned that adding an extra min in when you don't have a estrogim is not a good idea. You don't take a rimon instead because we're afraid that people shalot tishtakach taras esrog. People are, you would have thought that it would make sense to put something in its place. No, but we're afraid that nafik churba minei, people are going to assume that pre-eitz hadar means a pomegranate, so we don't replace it with another fruit. And that was the end of today's daf.